I'm Stephen. I'm a grateful sexaholic. I'm the leader of this meeting, and
Mark, sexaholic.
Hey Mark,
my co-leader. Let's take a moment of silence, and we'll say the Serenity Prayer together, perfectly on topic. So let's take a moment of silence. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Awesome. Well, welcome to this meeting of Sexaholics Anonymous. This is a closed meeting. Only conference attendees who are registered as sexaholics may attend this meeting. SA is an anonymous program. Many of us carry mobile devices that are capable of audio and visual recording. So to maximize our commitment to anonymity, we cannot allow the use of these devices for recording of anything inside this conference. Remember that this is a recorded meeting, however. Anything said here will be shared with other SA members in the fellowship, and in doing so, may end up shared on the internet as a whole. So anyone speaking can choose to use a pseudonym. So if you come up to the mic, introduce yourself, you can use a pseudonym, or just share with someone after the meeting in more detail if you do not wish to be recorded in this meeting. This is a topic meeting, so the topic for this meeting is the Serenity Prayer we just prayed together. I have asked my friend Brandon to share the opening reading on this topic from The Real Connection. And yeah, Brandon, if you could come up and read it for us, thank you.
Hi, I'm Brandon. I'm a recovering sexaholic.
Brandon.
This is an excerpt from Recovery Continues, page 177, June 20th, Virtues for All. God, grant me the serenity, White Book 210. Oh, maybe Recovery Continues is wrong. Anyway. Real Connection, June 20th. There we go. In 1943, the Serenity Prayer became part of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it opens every Sexaholics Anonymous meeting I have attended. The virtues of serenity, courage, and wisdom sought by recovering addicts are desired by most people. I see how the first words of the prayer set the tone. God grant means I acknowledge this is not a prayer calling me to try harder or to be steadfast in the program. Instead, I affirm that God is the source of the power I need to carry me through the next minute, hour, and day. I cannot do it on my own. I humbly turn to my God for the peace of mind to live with those things I cannot alter, like the recent death of my father or the consequences of my acting out. I ask for courage to make changes where I am able, such as changing my attitude or making amends to people I have wronged. I ask God for discernment to know which actions I should take. Allowing God to guide my responses to this daily petition is the surest way to the joy of living in recovery. Thy will, not mine, be done.
Thank you, Brandon. So for the next few minutes, I'll share my experience, strength, and hope as it relates to this topic, the Serenity Prayer. And then after that, my co-leader, Mark, will share. When we have finished sharing, the meeting will be opened for others to share. And then I believe Ken has volunteered to time our shares to 3 minutes. If you'd like to come up and share, we've asked that you come to the microphone. Multiple people come up, you just form a line, but looks like we'll have enough space for everybody to share. So, cool. So I will start us off. So I am Stephen. I am a grateful sexaholic. And as I think about the Serenity Prayer, I think about actually very recently when we were sitting in that speaker meeting this afternoon, Bradley was, he started off our time with praying the Serenity Prayer. And I had just put some dessert in my mouth and I was like, gosh, darn it. Like I can't even say the prayer. Like, oh no. Like I was like chewing really fast and all stressed out and anxious as everyone's starting to pray. And then I realized I'm like the reading said, it starts with an invitation for God to do something. It says, God grant me blah, 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 whatever comes after that. It has nothing to do with me and what I'm doing. It doesn't matter if I have food in my mouth and I can say the words, or if I'm thinking about it in the right posture, or I'm doing an action that buffers me up. But as an addict, as somebody who's constantly evaluating his performance and perspective based on how I think other people are receiving me or not, it's very difficult for me to get out of the headspace of thinking that this prayer is all about me and what I'm doing. And it actually, as the reading said, has everything to do with what God is doing. It's an invitation for God to move, higher power, something bigger than me to move, whether that power is the group, whether that power is my sponsor, whether that power is even these spiritual principles that I'm gleaning as I'm walking in daily recovery and sobriety. It's an invitation for God to move. So I was just very grateful for that reminder, even as I was eating my dessert, not feeling like I was in the right headspace to pray. Because I have come to see in this program, in recovery, in sobriety, that my higher power does move and does act, and he does fulfill the three requests that are made. Grant me the serenity to accept what I can't change, to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I don't know, was that my time?
No.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I was like, oh, I hope it is. Just kidding. The beauty of that prayer is that as I'm taking the actions of recovery, actions of love towards myself in these rooms, opening up, being vulnerable in spaces that are beyond just me, I do see my higher power working on my behalf. I do see evidence of that in my life. It's not just about doing the deeds, but it's about receiving the love and the grace and the care of a power greater than myself. And the only way I can open myself up to that is if I let go moment by moment of the lie that it's all based on me. It's the weight is on my shoulders. I got to do it myself. It's not, because again, the prayer starts God grant, not Stephen grant or whatever. And so I'm thankful for the ways this program has taught me that it's not me working my way to a higher power. It's my higher power working his way to me, through this fellowship. But in order to do that, I have to show up. I have to bring the body. I have to be willing. I've been thankful for the ways that I've been confronted with my own limitedness and reminders that I cannot do this myself. Even as I'm able to use my gifts now to give back to the fellowship, that saved my life. So I think I'll end there and pass it over to Mark. Thanks for letting me share. I'm a sexaholic.
Hi, I'm Mark, grateful sexaholic. So before the program, I wasn't very much of a praying person at all. In fact, the only time I did pray is when I went to Vegas. Let the dice go. That was about it. But then got into this program, and it was all about praying and God. And it was like, what? We're not in Vegas. So I got used to this. And I would get up in the morning, and I'd start praying about things. And then I started adding the serenity prayer to the end of my prayers. And then, as time went on in this program, I took the serenity prayer and kind of dissected it. And like it was said earlier, you know, God grant me, you know, the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And I had a real trouble with that one, because I'm changing everything. Things are going my way. If they're not my way, then it's the highway for others. And my wife used to get real upset with me about those things. But things changed once I took anger management. That helped. But I would have things happen, and I'd tell her, you know, well, this is not right. This is not, and she goes, but that's the way it is. That's the way it is, and you got to let it go. And I couldn't. Until I started taking this prayer to heart and really realizing that I got to give it to God. I got to let, you know, God get in there and accept that fact that he's going to do it. And I can only change things that I can change. So it was a while until that actually took hold. But now every morning for the past 12 and a half years, I get up, I say my prayers, I follow it with a serenity prayer, and I start my day. Well, I take that back. I do a little reading out of Real Connection, and then I start my day, because it's all about setting my mind at a relaxation mode before I can start. Because in the past, I'd get up, just start doing my day, and I'd run into problems. But now, before I even get out of the bed, I do all that, and I just clear everything, and now I can start. And I feel so much better doing that. So I think I'm a little ahead of time, but thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks. Thank you, Mark. Awesome. So meeting is going to be open for sharing here. So if you do take the opportunity to share, please keep your shares to the limit of 3 minutes. And you'll come up to that microphone. And you can adjust the mic. Yes. Yes. And make sure you're not talking like that, you know, talk into it, but not too close, you know, like a baby's fist away from your mouth is what I've been told. So anyways, we ask that the sharing be pertinent to the topic of the Serenity Prayer. We don't take the inventories of others. That is, we uncover and work on our own defects, not those of others. We avoid politics, religious dogma, and other divisive issues. We avoid explicit sexual descriptions and sexually disrespectful or abusive language. If someone feels a share is too explicit, they may signify by raising their hand. And you do not have to leave the room, yes. Absolutely not. Yes, you are welcome here. We do lead with our weakness, and we ask that you take the risk of total self-disclosure as your higher power leads. So feel free to come up when you're ready to share and introduce yourself by first name before sharing. And the meeting is now open. Go for it.
Hi, I'm Brandon. I'm a recovering sexaholic.
Hi, Brandon.
So the Serenity Prayer for me, I also find it very difficult. In the reading we just read, the one part that is difficult for me is what we read, is God grant me. I have this innate desire for God not to grant me anything. I want to strive towards God. I desperately desire God, and I want his love and his presence, and I truly believe he acts in my life. But I feel this desire to go towards him. And whenever I find myself trying to strive towards God and trying to, instead of having God come to me, I realize that the intention behind that isn't actually me opening myself up to recovery. It's not myself opening myself up to God. It's only myself trying to use, I'm using God as a weapon, and I start to use prayer as a weapon in order to try and smooth my emotions. That's what I've realized I've done for probably as long as I've been in the program. And I've done it a million times today, and I realize it all the time that I tend to use God and prayer as my own weapon to try and soothe over my emotions. And that irritates me, and then I want to go and try and strive and fix it. And I haven't had much success in trying to fix that either. So I do have a lot of issue with setting myself aside in full and like genuine surrender. And maybe even believing that God can grant me the serenity to help me accept the things I can't change in my life. I think I'm so used to having to strive towards everybody and having to appease everybody, and that people won't like me, people won't accept me if I don't go strive towards them first. So the fact that I did, the whole concept that God can actually come to me is totally foreign to me. But that's been revealed to me within the past month or so. And that has been the biggest blessing, because now I am looking straight at the problem. And now every day I do work to just rely on God. And I think is kind of funny, and I say all the time, I need to surrender my inability to surrender. I don't have the ability to surrender on my own. I need God's help to even help me surrender. And that's something that I have been, that's something that I've been working on. And there's been absolutely moments this past month where I believe I have fully surrendered and opened myself up to God. And instead of like looking through myself first and then to God, I'm just looking straight to God. I acknowledge time. Thank you. And I've noticed an extreme difference in genuine surrender with good intentions, rather than me using that, the serenity prayer, as a weapon for my own needs and desires. So thanks for letting me share. I'm Brandon. I'm a sexaholic.
Thanks, Brandon.
My name is Jesse. I'm a sexaholic.
Hey, Jesse.
Think about the serenity prayer that really sticks out to me is accepting the things I cannot change. And that's something that, can y'all hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. I have a hard time accepting certain things that I cannot change. I don't have the kind of personality I'd like to have. I was born with a very shy personality, and I'm not like other people who can be all fun and outgoing, and I wish I was like that, but I am. And it doesn't seem like that's something I can change, and I'm bitter about that, and I'm having a hard time accepting it. I'm 53. I don't want to be 53. I want to be 23. When I was in my 20s, I didn't have as much fun as everyone else my age is having, and because of the kind of personality that I have, and because of my disease, and I wish I could go back and have that, or at least make up for it now, but I can't because I'm a lot older. There's a lot of things that I don't know how to explain it, but another thing is I lost the use of my left hand a few years ago when I had a surgery to remove a tumor. I can't change that. These are things I have a hard time accepting, and so the part about the serenity prayer, accepting the things I cannot change, is really important to me, and it's really important for me to learn to surrender all that to God and be okay with it, because I guess I feel like I can't be okay unless things are a certain way, and I have to let God rewrite what it means for me to be okay. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Jesse. My name is A, and I'm a sexaholic. One of the things I've recently been struggling with is the first part, the acceptance, is that I can't play certain sports like how I used to as a teenager. Now there comes with injuries. I have a torn meniscus, I have a torn shoulder, and I just banged up my nose a couple of days ago playing basketball. And you know, I feel like something, the serenity prayer could be very useful for me. You know, the times when I really want to play again, using it, and also the wisdom to know the difference, where sometimes I don't know the difference between what I could change, what I can't change. So especially focusing on that part, like, okay, maybe I could play basketball, you know, but then I'll get banged up again. Who knows? I might get my other knee, or I might get my other shoulder. So I could, quote unquote, force my way, but it comes with a lot of damage. So especially the last part, the wisdom to know the difference, what I could change, what I can change. That's one thing I gotta, that's a prayer I really want to emphasize for me. And yeah, thank you.
I was going to use my middle name, Kevin, but I'm actually Stephen. I'm a sexaholic. Serenity prayer is pretty relevant for me. My life has been over the years. My wife and I moved to San Diego from Toronto. I'm really identifying myself here a lot, but who cares? So with a five-year-old, and I experienced Southern California as Darwinian, that's when I got here, I thought, because, I had a job, I was a transfer, but there was only so much house we could afford, and, I've just been having to surrender that because there's so many other positives here, for us. We moved here for her health, my wife's, that is. But we're in a townhouse, and one of the things I've had to surrender, we own the townhouse. It's a community where there are a lot of renters, a lot of children as well. And we've been on a roll with our next-door neighbor for years. But then, someone moved in, and they have a pit bull. And, the dog went out and bit somebody in the community. And I've been calling that into the Humane Society, and there, there's consequences for that, for this person. But they also smoke pot in the house, and it comes into our house, and it comes into the garage. And, I just had to surrender this because people have a right to live where they live. They have a right to smoke pot in the state of California. It's just the way it is. So I'm always saying this prayer. And thank God, that I have this prayer to accept the things that I can't change the things I can. I'm also identified with the comment about aging. I have something called a trigger thumb. I don't know if I can make it click. No, it didn't come across, but that's from being a musician and playing piano and also fiddle, and I'm realizing I just can't do those things the way I used to do them. It's just aging, and so I have to just accept that that's just life on life's terms. So parts of this program I really like are the life on life's terms, the acceptance prayer. I have that on my bureau. I say it a lot, the serenity prayer, and it's good. And then my sexaholism, that's something I have trouble accepting, still, because I'm still in the sobriety stage. I have control over my sobriety, I believe. I don't have control over my recovery, but the sobriety is something I do have control over, and I'm really glad I have that. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Dan, sexaholic. When it comes to serenity and acceptance, I tend to get serenity after the acceptance. And acceptance is easy for the small stuff, but for the big stuff, I'm talking about things that are unacceptable. And it's just not right. There's a lot of pain for a long period of time. And... Okay. All right. So, where was I? Okay, so there was a situation a few years ago. It was a mental health issue and some physical health issue that came together at the same time. And the pain was unbearable. Not to the point where I pass out or scream. That's real unbearable pain. And there is such a thing as unbearable pain, I believe. But came pretty close to it for a long period of time, and it got so bad that I didn't realize that I wasn't in acceptance. And somehow when it got bad enough, maybe I expressed some openness to my higher power. The little voice said, acceptance. And I said, oh, no, you got to be kidding me. Come on. Seriously. That's out of reach. That's not even a I can't even contemplate that. Then it happened again. I said, okay. And I realized the bottom line was I was powerless. I simply could not accept. And so the serenity prayer, like in the initial reading, you know, God grant me. So then it started. But what started was nothing. No change. So that was interesting. Still on the blocks, you know, the gun's gone off, but Dan's still on the blocks. And then I realized, oh, take the action and the feeling will follow. Doggone it, I don't feel like accepting it. So anyway, I just did it, took contrary action. I accept it. Not quite there. I accept it. I accept it. So for some reason, saying it three times over and over again, eventually the willingness came. But it's just like a resentment. I can't wait for God to flip the switch, remove that resentment, or somehow make me feel like not resenting. I realized I had to take some action, and that was to forgive. The antidote to resentment from me is to forgive. How do you forgive? How do you do that? An egregious wrong. How do you forgive? I mean, any court in the land, they would be guilty, and they'd have to make restitution to me. So now I know in order to forgive, and that's just to forgive. I forgive this, I forgive you. I forgive this, I forgive you. After time, it starts to sink in. After time of repeating it, it's like learning an instrument, right? I'm not going to get it the first time. So don't give up. Keep practicing.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
It's you. I'm Ken, sexaholic. For me, the Serenity Prayer, I'd heard of it before I got on the program. Maybe I knew what it was before I got on the program. Never really paid that much attention. But when I got in, it was one of the first things I memorized because I heard it over and over and over. And I was really grateful that I did. And the thing that I used the Serenity Prayer for the most was there would be times where I would be out somewhere and I'd see somebody and I'd be triggered, you know, and there's that prayer, God bless this person, or, you know, God take my lust. But I couldn't think of anything. I was like a deer in the headlights, and I would say, God grant me the serenity. You know, and that would come out, like, it wouldn't come out of my mouth. It would go through my brain. And then I would say the rest of that prayer. And then by the time I got done with that, then I thought, oh, yeah, I remember. I can say, God, please take my lust. I can, you can. So it was kind of like the first thing I would do in those situations because it was so in my head. And then, of course, you know, for me, I mean, I really like it. You know, and then it goes on to basically distinguishing between what I can, it's in my control, and what's not, what I need to accept and what I can take some action to change. So that was really important too. That was a very important ongoing thing for me because just like so many people have said, you know, I wanted to control things and I did it through my charm or I did it through my, you know, mostly subtle ways, not always. Sometimes I got angry and forced things, but it was mostly through skilled manipulation. And so for me, the concept of, oh gosh, you know, there are things that I actually can't control or don't need to control or whatever. And after being in the program for a while, it's almost like I felt like, God, there's less and less and less I really need to worry about controlling. I just need to focus on me, you know, and improving myself, opening my heart, being a good listener, you know, giving love instead of taking. And that's been a really, and that all sort of grew in some ways out of the Serenity Prayer. I mean, there's lots of readings we do, lots of shares that I've heard that reinforce those things. But for me, it kind of started with the Serenity Prayer, that idea of getting serenity, you know, what to do when I get in a situation I'm not sure what to do, and also letting go of a lot of things I was trying to control. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks. I'm Michael. I'm a sexaholic.
Hi, Michael.
Yeah, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And what I'm realizing more recently is I can't change the triggers that I will see. That's out of my control. And, you know, sometimes I want to just put it out of my head, but I can't. I mean, it's there. The next part, though, to give me the courage to do what I can, is what do I do with that? You know, I could entertain that trigger. I could act on it and go that direction. Or I can call a friend and say, hey, that's an action item that I can take, is to call somebody or text somebody and say, hey, I had this trigger. And if I don't do that, I will go the wrong direction. So that's kind of where I am right now with that prayer. Thanks.
Thanks, Michael.
Jesse Sexaholic. One thing occurred to me after my first share is that even though I have a hard time accepting things that I cannot change, there's only two options: accept it or not accept it. And to not accept it is more painful in the long run, because I can't change it. I can't change it regardless of whether I accept it or not. It's still going to be the way it is, and something being a certain way and I'm not accepting it, that just makes it all the more painful. So ultimately, even though it's difficult, I do need to, it would be best for me to learn to just accept these things. And it would be especially for my sobriety, because one thing that causes me to lust a lot is not being able to accept the reality of how my life is. And I'm constantly wanting to escape from that and escape into lust. And that seems like the only third option, the least painful option, but I know that's not a very good option, if it even is one. So thanks for letting me share.
I'm Brandon. I'm a sexaholic. One part of the prayer that I forgot to mention in my first share was in the wisdom to know the difference. And the big part of that is wisdom for me. I have this really bad tendency to try and seek out as much knowledge as I possibly can. And I think that more knowledge will save me. I do that not only in my recovery, but I do it in my faith tradition a lot. And I think that learning more and understanding more will help me. It will help soothe me. It'll help give me peace. It'll give me serenity. I think that in a sense will save me. I think, and what I've learned is that wisdom actually tends to kill me more than it actually saves me. I think that when I discover more things, not that that's inherently evil, it's just the fact that I can't deal with it properly. I am incapable of holding on to knowledge and then transforming it into something useful for myself. I tend to use it to, again, self-medicate myself, to soothe over my emotions. And I think that if as long as I know, I'll be okay. And I've learned, I've learned quite the opposite. The more knowledge I get, the more in my head I tend to get, the more self-righteous I tend to get. And that leads me to all sorts of places. So I think one of the most underrated parts about this serenity prayer is the last part, where it just give me the wisdom. Whatever your higher power is, you ask it to give you what you can handle in that moment, of what you can determine, hey, this is what I can change, this is what I can't change. There's only so much I can handle. I think I'm not capable of eating meat. I can only drink milk. I can only take a little bit at a time. As much as I want to take the whole world on and fix myself in one go, I can't do it. And but there is a great hope that my higher power, my God, can do it. And that for me is the greatest hope. I don't have to rely on myself. I've relied on myself for too long, and nothing's really gone according to my plan. Nothing's really gone well. So I'm very, very extremely grateful for all of you people here, that I get to talk and meet new people outside of my original circle, and that I have a higher power that is willing to show me and give me his wisdom whenever I can't discern for myself what wisdom is. So thanks for letting me share. I'm Brent. I'm a sexaholic.
Thanks, Brent. Thanks, Brent.
Steven again, sexaholic.
Steven.
Yeah, I left off my share saying that I had control over my sobriety, but not my recovery. I think what I meant by that is that my sponsor is telling me now that, you know, I do have control over the actions of lust. That is not to do them. And, you know, it's taken me years to just, I mean, I understood what the program's definition was when I joined it, but I just didn't accept it. I wanted to skirt around the edges of it all the time. But I've also heard, but I'm nervous about that because I also heard things in the last meeting here, you know, that the change of heart is really important. And the third step prayer is not I surrender my lust to God. It's surrender my life to God, and from that comes the change of heart, and then the actions of love. So those are important things that I needed to hear today, as I kind of go out from here. One area of my life I don't have any control over is, you know, I have an adult child. I am an adult child, but I also have an adult child. And she's 29, and our daughter, she lives 2,500 miles away, other side of the country. Accident? No, I don't think so. She chose to do that, and, you know, I'm reminded sometimes by another person who kind of sponsors me, does your daughter know that you love her? Does your wife know that you love her? And so I made sure I called her today and told her that I loved her. But I cannot control her and her decisions and how she lives her life. That ship has sailed. And so that's part of serenity for me as well. I have to accept that, you know. But what I can do is I can pray. I'm grateful for my faith tradition that has prayers that you pray for other people. And that's something I can do that's positive. So that's all just part of serenity prayer for me too today. Thanks.
Thanks, Steven.
Dan, sexaholic. Dan. The other part of that, we've been talking about acceptance, courage to change the things I can, never really sank in on me. And by that I mean, I couldn't think of an example for that in my life. But recently, I've been a part of an organization where there's some things that just aren't right. Or that, why are they doing it that way? That does not make sense. And it was, I was having to forgive the resentment constantly, you know. So then it just occurred to me out of the blue that there was actually something I could do about it. I could do some research on the topic and actually demonstrate from other sources and myself that this actually is, there's a scientific basis for this. There's another one where I could do is actually go up to speak to someone and let them know how I feel without a big and large controlling presence on them. And then I said, well, oh, but I don't want to do that. I have to step out. I have to exert myself, you know. So the courage to change the thing is the things I can kind of goes to my lazy bone, you know. So I don't have any progress to share on that, okay? I'm just saying. that's, you know, what I need to start making some progress on.
Thanks, Dan.
Hi, I'm Lauren. I'm a sexaholic. So 3 months ago, I have a six-year-old son, and he was diagnosed with ADHD, and that was a diagnosis that I received when I was in my, mid-20s, having struggled all my life and not really knowing that that's what I was struggling with, just thinking I was a, you know, good procrastinator and perfectionist and whatnot, but it became pretty obvious with my son, you know, just reports and things like that. But I've just been struggling to accept it because, I mean, first of all, they say it's genetic. So I'm like, great, I gave it to him. Congratulations. And I just know he's going to struggle his whole life, right? It may be different than I have, but I've just been kind of grieving just the diagnosis and that, you know, it's not the end of the world by any means, but you know, it's just like when something happens that you don't expect. And I don't know, just over the last like 6 months, I just feel like, and it's probably even longer than that, but I just feel like something kind of like broke in my son, you know, where it was like, I saw this kid that was always like happy and smiling all the time and just full of like life and joy into like this emotionally like breaking down over things that I just didn't even see coming. And I've just realized that now that that's all part of this diagnosis, and it's just really painful. And I know I have to like, and it's also bringing up stuff in me, right? The stuff that I've not really dealt with my own stuff. And anyway, just kind of trying to get from that place of like accepting it, you know, that this is just the reality, like that there's a plan for it. It's not, like I said, it's not the end of the world. And try and get to this place of like courage to do things about it, right? There are things that I can, do to try to help him navigate life, right? My parents didn't know how to do that for me, but I can help do that for him. And so just having that like courage to do those things, right? Because it is painful. So it is requiring me to face it. And the fact that I have to face it is requiring that, just needing that courage. And then just that wisdom, right? Because sometimes I think by facing something, I'm doing something, it's going to fix the problem, right? And that's not the goal, right? It's just, I need to do the next indicated step. I can't like, yeah, I don't have any control over what the ending is other than just, I do what I'm supposed to do. And so that's just been something I've been navigating in the last few months, and, appreciate that. Let me share.
Thanks, Lauren.
I'll double dip a bit. Steven, sexaholic. Lately, life has felt like a very full Thanksgiving meal plate. It's lots of good food. Way too much to eat, and then I feel bloated and gross afterwards. And so the Serenity Prayer comes in handy because it reminds me, well, one, I'm not God, because the prayer is I'm imploring upon a power greater than myself to grant me something I don't have. So that's good, fosters humility. But then when there's too much on the plate, which is generally the norm for me, and it's good things too, especially in recovery, it's like in sober recovery, it's just so many opportunities to be of service and just to be able to give. And it's like amazing. But I can't say yes to all of it. And I realize, and my sponsor has been helping me with this. It's like, oh, interesting. I need a set of eyes outside myself to see what I can't see because I have blind spots. Wow. What a concept. He's helping me see how my inability or even the tension that comes up from the fact that there is too much on the plate and I can't say no to things, that indicates a fundamental, well, lack of trust in my higher power, which makes the prayer all the more important because it constantly regrounds me in the fact that I need a higher power. I can't just say the prayer one time and then I'm good to go. It's a constant invitation, re-invitation, re-invitation, come back to the full plate and acknowledge there's stuff that's going to drop off the map. There are things that I'm not going to be able to say yes to. Do I trust my higher power to hold those places that I can't hold? Fundamentally, the answer is no, I actually don't. trust in that moment. But as I'm bringing that to the light, identifying those areas of overwhelm or whatever it is, maybe it's something that's triggering me. Maybe it's a situation that didn't go the way that I wanted to go. And this is like constant, right? As I'm bringing it to the light, that's when the power of the prayer, that's when the wisdom to discern, okay, what is for me to say yes to and what isn't, that's when it becomes clear. And the baseline of all of this is sobriety. I have to be sober. I have to have a clear mind, a clear conscience. If I'm not sober, all that is irrelevant. So this program offers that fundamental baseline upon which to have a spiritual experience through not the overwhelm becoming less overwhelming, but through being able to see and experience the goodness of my higher power as I'm bringing things to light in the community of this fellowship, and now, by the grace of God, beyond it too. So that's the hope that I can bring today, that I am experiencing the joy of being able to hold too many things, recognizing repeatedly that God is bigger than that full plate. So thanks for letting me share. We have time for a few more shares, so come on up.
I'm Mark, Grateful Sexaholic. I wish I knew the Serenity Prayer when I was in elementary school, because I'm Jewish. And when I was in elementary school and I would eat certain things on the holidays, take it out of my lunch pail or, you know, and go to eat it, and these kids, what is that? What are you eating that for? And look at me really funny. And I tried to explain it to them, and they go, oh, okay. You know, and it's like, I got a little angry and upset about that situation. And had I had, you know, knowledge of the Serenity Prayer, I would have felt better. But I didn't. And I just had to deal with it and come home and tell my folks, you know, my parents what happened. And I'd get upset about it. And they go, well, they're just ignorant. You just have to live with it. And as I got older, I realized that I am living with it, and I was able to, you know, make it a thing. And as people got older, they realized that, oh, you're Jewish, that's nice. It changed. And, of course, now with the Serenity Prayer, it's helping me a great deal. So I appreciate it. Thanks.
Burning desires. Last call before we close. Look in each person in the eye. Lights are going to blink. Yes. All right. Well, I'll pass it to Mark to close our time.
Hi, I'm Mark, Grateful Sexaholic. Okay, that is all the time we have for sharing. If you do not have a chance to share, please find someone after the meeting to talk with. This is an anonymous program. Please keep the names and shares you have heard at this meeting to yourselves. Our experience teaches us that attending meetings, working the steps, and giving and receiving sponsorship are the key elements to maintaining your own sobriety. Would anyone willing to sponsor or temporary sponsor, please raise your hand. Okay. Please note ID badges with a blue dot indicate those willing to sponsor or temporary sponsor. This is an anonymous program. Please keep the name, email address, or phone number of anyone you meet or learn about an SA to yourself. What we say here, let it stay here. I have asked a volunteer to read the closing reading. That's me. After a moment of silence for the sexaholic who still suffers, please join me in the, let's do the third step prayer.
God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. keep coming back. It works if you work it.
So if you don't work it, you're worth it.
You don't work it, you're worth it.